Welcome to the Brand Fortress HQ podcast. This is another Amazon Tactics Tuesday, and actually we're going to do something a little bit different today. Rather than talking about Amazon and e-commerce, we're actually going to take you behind the scenes to talk about the launch of our podcast. So I've got Matt with me, I've got Mike with me, and I guess let's start off, I'll start with you guys and just, we've been talking about this for a while before we actually launched it. What interested you guys the most in launching a podcast?
You want to start, Matt?
So if we go back even farther than that, how this whole thing started to begin with, if you remember, John, I was working for an agency and you came as a prospect, and that turned into, we got along really well. We had some conversations. Those conversations got more regular. After a year later, we ended up inviting Mike to the conversations. And I mean, we've been having these conversations for over 2 years now. And, you know, when, I don't remember if it was you or Mike, which one of you said, hey, we should probably record some of these because we talk about some pretty high level stuff. And I mean, it really hasn't changed, to be honest. Like, it really still feels like you and I, us three getting together and nerding out on our businesses. To me, the fact that we're actually recording it for a podcast is, it's cool. But like, it started out just as an organic conversation between a bunch of buddies. And I think that's why I enjoy the whole process of this podcast so much, is because it basically is now a better produced convo with some of my really good friends.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's nice. And I think, you know, from the standpoint of people listening, you know, obviously if that's not already happening, you know, that maybe doesn't help you much. And also I think there's probably the aspect of, for most individuals who are listening, who are likely Amazon sellers, that, you know, a podcast for you, unless you intend on maybe getting into consulting or things of that nature, you know, in the space, that it's more likely that a podcast that's surrounded by the topics that would be of interest to your customers would be the thing that would be most valuable, you know, in terms of promoting your business and getting more exposure for your brand and that sort of thing. So it's a little bit different animal than what we're doing. But by the same token, there's probably something to learn from that, in the sense that, you know, there's probably value in you finding some individuals that operate in your space, not necessarily product sellers, although it could be, but, you know, like, for instance, you know, we sell pool tools. For me to just have regular conversations, you know, make some connections with individuals who are pool pros that have been doing this for a long time, and just have regular conversations with them, you know, like every couple of weeks or every week or something, right? Get comfortable, you know, find somebody that you're comfortable having those conversations with, and that you can have some relatively kind of high level conversations about that topic, you know, so like in our case, pool maintenance and, you know, things of that nature, right? Like, they understand the space in a much different way than I understand the space. But not only would those conversations help me to understand the space better, but if we get good at that conversation, then that can easily just turn naturally into a podcast that's a benefit to both of you, right? Because then you can serve customers in that space. You already kind of know how to have those conversations. It would be, as Matt said, much more organic, and it would probably give you a lot more confidence to step into that opportunity of actually doing a podcast if you've been having those conversations all along and now you're just deciding to record them, right? There would be a very low-hanging fruit option, right? See if you can connect somebody with somebody else in the space that you can just have some of those higher level conversations with.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, even going from there and kind of what spurred this on was being on other people's podcasts. You know, all three of us have been on different podcasts involved in Amazon, and just, you know, for the most part, the people that you have those podcasts with, I feel like at least, they're usually a lot of fun as far as a conversation and, you know, no matter, you know, whether you're selling a product on Amazon or, you know, you're running an agency or doing, you know, providing some other type of service, getting on a podcast really is a great way to have, you know, a way to tell your story. And you get a couple of different things out of it. I mean, the first thing is that, you know, obviously you've got the recorded conversation. I feel like everybody or a lot of people now, you know, podcasts are great because it's kind of a passive way of getting information, where, you know, you listen to your car when you're driving into work or whatever it happens to be. But then also, you know, in the content aspect, there's that long form, but also, you know, you can take a lot of these assets that you get from a podcast, because most of them, like, the platform that we're using right now is Riverside. So it records video as well. And then, you know, you get some video aspect of it, and then you can chop that up into clips that then can be posted, you know, social media and all that type of stuff. So from a content perspective, it's absolutely fantastic. And then, you know, again, on top of it, I think this whole process, as, you know, we've launched this podcast, of hosting a podcast, has definitely been, first of all, it's been a lot of fun. Secondly, you know, I think that if somebody's like, hey, I want to get, you know, see what that looks like to get my feet wet, you know, being on a podcast, something in your category, your industry, whatever it happens to be. And in fact, we have something that we're going to have coming out here in a few weeks, where we're going to start bringing on some brand builders as an example. So that way you can kind of hear their stories and their journeys and learn from what they've been doing. And I think that that's a great place to start, because there's so much value in that content. And then if you're like, hey, I really enjoy this, starting your own podcast is definitely something to consider. Not going to be perfect for everybody in every industry, but there's definitely a lot of, it's an easy way to connect with people. And well, I'm not going to say an easy, because it's not super easy, but I would say it's a good way to connect. I can see, for those that don't see the video right now, Matt, Mike's got a big smile on his face.
Because I'm glad that John took the reins on this and put in all the effort, because if it had to be me, we would not be in this position right now.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a great way to generate content, is really the short answer. Whether it's, you know, being on a podcast, and then of course it's a whole new level when you decide that you want to host your own podcast.
Well, and just from the nuts and bolts of it, right? I mean, being on any podcast, or say hopefully multiple podcasts before you start your own, you know, the nuts and bolts of what that process could look like, you know, in terms of, you know, what sort of questions might you ask on a questionnaire for somebody that you might interview for your podcast? You know, what should those questions look like? How should that process work? Should you do a pre-interview? You know, like, should you, all of those things, you know, if you're getting interviewed on podcasts that have been established and have done maybe, say, you know, at least 50 or 100 episodes maybe, right? They probably have streamlined their process enough that it would be useful, you know, to see how do they do it? Like, what is the process? How do they run through it? So that you at least have a high level view of what that looks like. Because if you've never done it and you've never been on a podcast, you literally have no idea, you know, what that looks like. And it would be extremely intimidating, you know, to walk into that and to have never experienced it at all from either side of the mic. You know, so yeah, I absolutely agree. The best thing to do would be just be on some podcast, you know, see if you can be interviewed as, you know, an expert or a brand builder or whatever, you know, find something that you think you could talk about effectively for, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 minutes, and see who might interview you about that, you know?
Well, if you're a brand builder and you're looking at, like, what, how does this relate to me? And even if it's just you finding a podcast to be on that is in your target market, even if you use that as kind of being a reporter and asking questions to someone that purchases your product, like, Mike, you don't even own a pool and you sell pool cleaning tools. So if you're having a conversation with a pool cleaning technician or someone that owns a shop that sells this kind of stuff, like, you'll learn a lot just by asking him questions, or by answering, you know, him asking you questions about your business and your products. Like, you would learn so much more about your target market, which then you can use in so many other ways, even if it's just using that knowledge to understand how to speak to your consumer a little bit better. So, I mean, there's so many different benefits to it, but like, learning who your target market is and what's important to them, that's one of the biggest, if you're just a brand builder and you're not looking to build content for any other reason, just by understanding them a little bit better.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that I think is important, at least in this process, or at least was for me, was, is that first of all, these were conversations that we were already having at a high level. And what I like about having the podcast now is that it really just provides, I think, a better platform for us to be able to get that content, whether it be an audio form, video form, whatever, you know, out to sellers that are looking at fortifying their brand and looking at how do I continue to grow on Amazon and beyond, in a way that, you know, other mediums or other strategies or approaches may not be as easy in order to share. So for me, at least, that was one of the big reasons why I was excited about doing the podcast, is because I think it's just such a good medium to have, quite frankly, the conversations that we were already having.
Well, and there's such great tools out there, right? Like, I mean, you know, we use Riverside, but there's a number of other tools out there for doing a podcast that essentially accomplish many of the same goals, you know, like they help with the audio and they do things like that. But honestly, like you said, in terms of content, you know, in terms of, you know, the shorts that it generates and the scripts and transcripts and things like that, that you can use in so many different ways, you know, like even us, you know, I mean, essentially we really have just started this podcast. I mean, it didn't launch that long ago. And, you know, even though it takes some time, you know, to get some traction, you know, if you look at the YouTube shorts that we're publishing, you know, already, you know, we've got, you know, I don't know what, a couple thousand views or something like that, if you add it all up, you know. And so, you know, if you think about that, depending on what it is you're trying to accomplish, you know, that's actually fairly impressive, you know, the number of people that we've already reached in a very short period of time. We didn't know anything about this process. We didn't really, you know, had not any one of us really used YouTube Shorts or TikTok or anything like that in any large capacity, you know, previously to understand well what that process looks like. You know, we're learning as we go, but we've already generated some traffic and some exposure, and you don't ever know. You know, those videos, like you might publish on one platform, say you publish it on YouTube, you know, and you get 10 views, but the very same video published to TikTok might get 15,000 or 20,000 or 100,000 reviews. So if you're taking that content and you're dispersing it and repurposing it on multiple platforms, the chance that you're going to get some decent exposure from certain ones of those videos on certain platforms is actually very good. And the content's already there, you know, like these services like Riverside, they already create the content for you. You know, it makes it fairly simple. And if you just repurpose it, you know, that alone is going to get you far more exposure than you can get without it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing that's important for folks to know too, is that as we, you know, we started talking about this probably like last August. So, you know, it was probably a total of 6 months from the time that we had talked about, said, yeah, we were interested in doing a podcast until we actually launched it. Now, I think a part of that is because all three of us, you know, have our own, you know, other projects and businesses and that type of thing that we do outside of, you know, Brand Fortress HQ, which is fantastic from the standpoint of the different perspective and information that we're able to bring to the table when we have these Tactics Tuesday talks and everything else that we do. But with that, also, I think it's important for people to know that we did bring in, you know, somebody that actually I was on their podcast. I emailed, you know, probably about 10 people that I knew ran, you know, fairly successful podcasts, and just asked them for advice. And I think it's, you know, within the Amazon community, I think we're fortunate enough to have a pretty open community where people are willing to, you know, help each other. And I think the same thing is true for the podcast community, where, you know, you reach out and ask for, hey, we're looking at launching a new podcast. You know, what are your recommendations for, you know, finding guests and, you know, what's involved in the launch process and that type of stuff. And there was a lot of valuable advice from that. And also from that, you know, we found somebody that, you know, he runs, I think he's, Brian's got what, 4 or 5 different podcasts, but then he also, you know, consults for launching podcasts. And so, you know, he really helped us, you know, understand, you know, just like there's a logarithm on Amazon, you know, Apple has their own logarithm for podcasts and how that ranking works and all those types of things, and kind of helped us understand what's involved in that process and speaking that language. So that way, as we strategized, you know, launching our podcast, we could think about, you know, how do we want to launch the podcast in order to be as effective as possible?
I mean, imagine how much farther along he got us by his knowledge, his experience doing something that we wanted to do. he'd already done it 1,000 times. And I mean, we launched and I mean, we were in the top 200 rankings in the first week. So, I mean, like, I don't know that we would have been able to do that ourselves if we fumbled around. I mean, sure, we would have gotten a recorder. We might've landed on a program like Riverside, but I don't know that we would have been as successful right out of the gate. So, I mean, that speaks to the importance of coaches and consultants and people that have been there before to help get you there a lot faster and with a lot less mistakes, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, we made it, I mean, you say within the top 200, I mean, literally, and this is a little bit, a little frustrating because we were so close, but we hit like 103. Like we were mm-hmm. number 103 briefly, right?
We were 102. And okay, 102, I'm a little frustrated. I was, you know, it's one of those things where I'm really happy. I love the progress that we've made with the podcast, but that is the, you know, one of the things that I look back and when I say, okay, what could we have done differently? I wish we would have put a little bit, and we put a lot of effort into launch and we can, you know, talk about that in a minute, but I wish we would have been able to just get to that tipping point to get in the top 100 because we were so close in the US. We hit 102.
That's such a big thing, right? Like, I mean, you hit that top 100, then of course, then you get featured and then you get like, we were just like this, you know, like we were that close. So it's possible. I think it's, you know, I mean, I think the big thing, the big takeaway from that, you know, for me is, and for anybody listening, number one, it's possible. You know, like there's a process that you could use that we used that will get you there. Like you could do it. We didn't quite make it, but a lot of other podcasts might have, you know. And, you know, like Matt said, having the benefit of that person who's gone before you 1,000 times, right? And they know what that looks like. I mean, that truly is invaluable. And I will say this much, that I really just started, you know, kind of attending conferences and networking with other Amazon sellers and other e-commerce individuals and whatnot, literally like a year and a half ago. I mean, it's, and in that amount of time, you know, previous to that, I was strictly lone wolf. I didn't talk to anybody. I barely even knew, like, I knew technically that there were other Amazon sellers out there, obviously. I didn't know a single one, you know, up until that point. And I'd been selling on Amazon for, what, 8 years at that point? The amount of benefit there has been to my business in that year and a half, in terms of the number of people that I've met, you know, the things that I've learned, the contacts that I've made, the networking and how they're able to put me in touch with people. They've already walked through a certain process that I'm about to walk through. And so I need, you know, assistance. I can't even describe the amount of benefit that there has been to me from that process. This being one of those things, like if I hadn't gone to that one conference, I wouldn't have met Matt, you know, I wouldn't have been brought into your guys' little mastermind. I wouldn't hit, like, none of this would have happened, right? So that one contact, you know, that one conference that I went. And so on the same, you know, along that same vein, you can orchestrate that. You can pay for that right to have access to those individuals who have gone before you, who know what you're about to do, who know the pitfalls, who know the things to do right, you know, and the things that matter and the things that don't matter. The question is, are you willing to spend the money to gain that expertise without having to go through all of the headaches that they went through? Like, that's worth thousands of dollars easily. And the question is, you know, are you willing to pay that price? We chose to do so, you know, to take advantage of that opportunity. And I think it's propelled us forward to a much greater degree than we would have otherwise.
So that was BDSS in Austin that you and I met. Was that your first conference that you went to, Mike?
Yes.
So
I had a virtual BDSS before that, but I had never been to a physical, you know, event.
So for the cost of that ticket, do you think that you could put a monetary number on how much that one trip has benefited your business since because of all the different dominoes that has happened since then?
1,000x.
Yeah.
And that's not an exaggeration. Like, I mean, literally. Yeah. Because I spent what, you know, like, I don't know, $5,000, you know, whatever it was, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it was pricey. I mean, and at the time yeah. I was like, I don't know, you know, but yeah. I had spent, I don't know, $1,000 or whatever it was on the virtual event. And there was a lot of good content and I'm, you know, and I met some people. I mean, a virtual event is tough, you know, like you're not really meeting face to face, it's Zoom, you know, whatever. But I did meet some people through that. And it wasn't just the content that caused me to decide to go to the in-person event. Part of it was people that I met, but most of it was the content, honestly. You know, like there was just some really good content. But once I attended that physical event and met all of the amazing individuals that I met there, you know, then it became clear to me that the content was valuable, but the networking and the individuals that I met, way more valuable. And I can literally say that $5,000 or whatever it was that I spent on BDSS, absolutely 1,000x I have gained more than what I put in, because I know where I'm going to be a year from now or so based on the things that I've learned and the people that I've connected with and the stuff that I've, you know, been able to do that I didn't do before that. I had no question that that's true.
Yeah. And I think and coming back to the podcast, that's what one of the things that really excited me about it initially. And one of the things that I really enjoy about it is, you know, you talk about contacts. I mean, we've already had some incredible, you know, heavyweights in the Amazon space that are fantastic at moving brands forward and really know at a deep level what's happening on Amazon and helping brands grow. And we're going to have more of those guests. We're going to have more people that are, you know, those brand builders and that type of stuff. And the podcast just really gives, I think, a great platform in order to have a, you know, 45 minute or an hour conversation with them where everybody wins. You know, I learn a ton from those guests. You know, we get them some exposure with our podcast. And at the same time, you know, you, the listeners, also get essentially a, you know, a one-on-one session with them of what's happening in the Amazon space and what they're seeing in order to move, you know, brands forward and, you know, your business forward on Amazon and beyond. So there, I think there's just an incredible amount of value that's gained through that entire process.
Well, and again, it's funny too, the
go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, putting, all right, Matt, you're first.
Putting the brand builder hat on again for our brand builders that are listening. You know, how to apply this to your business. You know, I sell in the barbecue accessory space and we have a pretty big Facebook group, and weekly we used to have interviews where we would have a video interview with one of the members of the group and they would be in their backyard at the grill telling us what they were cooking up. And that was one of the things that created so much engagement in that group. But it gave us the opportunity who we, you know, I do love to barbecue, but I'm not a competition pit master that travels the country in these competitions, but yet we were able to have conversations with them. So we learned, we got in front of our target audience who were drawn to us because we were interviewing these people that they go to competitions and see and know because they were on TV shows. But like, that was also content for us in our brand that we were able to use on all different types of advertisement, like our listing and our Facebook page and that kind of stuff. So that's how, you know, there's so many benefits of being able, just being the reporter in your category of products that you sell products in, and have that as, you know, as stuff that you can use for all of your advertisements is another really, really good application for something like this.
Well, and that's also so cool because, you know, if you think about that, like there are a lot of different ways to run a podcast, right? It doesn't have to be a formal interview kind of a situation where, okay, you're interviewing the expert, you know, whatever, and it doesn't have to be that. You know, it can be that. A lot of podcasts are that, but certainly there's plenty of podcasts that that's not, you know, the structure of how it works. You could literally be like guy on the street kind of a thing, you know, talking to individuals, you know, in your, you know, like you were talking about, Matt, you know, like that whole idea of just going and being there, you know, while the pit master is cooking up his stuff, you know, at a competition or whatever, like that could be your podcast. Like literally you could do that and have, that could be a podcast. You could still record it. You can still cut it up into shorts. You can still, you know, create a little 20-minute thing. You know, like there's so many creative ways that you can do that. And again, as long as you're providing value in the space, and let's loop that back to a brand owner who maybe is trying to sell a product, you know, or something on Amazon, right? There's you know who your customer is, you know the things that would potentially be of value to them, the information that they would appreciate or that they would think was humorous or they would enjoy. Like, it doesn't just have to be information. Like, people appreciate good information and useful information, but plenty of people just go to a comedy show because they just want to be entertained, right? They scroll through TikTok because they want to be entertained, right? So your podcast could just simply be entertaining in that space. And as long as you're entertaining people that you're trying to connect with, it still gives you more exposure in that space. So, you know, be creative with that. And in terms of, you know, like John was talking about the fact that we've had that opportunity to bring some pretty heavy hitters in the Amazon space onto our podcast, even though realistically our podcast was pretty new, didn't really have much in the way of viewership yet, right?
We didn't. Well, I mean, as a part of the launch, we record 10 episodes before we even launch. So
precisely, like, right?
We are asking these people, you know, to spend an hour with us, you know, being very upfront that, like, hey, we don't have, you know, technically anybody yet,
right?
Because we recorded 10 episodes before we launched.
So there was no assurance to them that they were actually going to receive any significant return on their investment of that time, right? And yet they were still willing to do so. Now, many of the people that we reached out to were people that we knew or, you know, we had some sort of connection with, not all of them, but many of them. So that's a little bit different story. You know, like, people that you know are going to be willing, you know, a little more willing to somebody that you don't. But I do think that most of the individuals listening to this would be surprised at the number of experts in your space that, one, would be flattered that you even asked them to do an interview. Two, would be certainly happy to do so for the possibility of some increase in exposure, right? Because you don't know. Any podcast could blow up. You don't know what podcasts are going to blow up and what podcasts aren't going to blow up, right? So being interviewed on a particular podcast, you really don't know as the expert, like, maybe this is going to get me a million exposures. Maybe it's going to get me zero, right? But the other thing that was interesting is I spoke to another guy who runs a very, you know, popular podcast. I'm not going to give out the name necessarily, but, you know, he made a very good point to me. And that is that he chooses to be on virtually any podcast that somebody asks him to be on. Small or large, doesn't matter how big their audience is, whatever. As long as it's in a field that makes sense, you know, for what he's trying to accomplish, he will accept every single podcast, you know, every single offer, and will actually even sometimes seek out opportunities to be on a podcast. And he said something very profound, which, and what he said was, because you don't know what's going to happen with that podcast. Most podcasts, even if they only have done, you know, say 10 or 15 or 20 episodes, right? They have a certain number of listeners that are already paying attention, and they will likely have more. Many of them will give up. Many of them will throw up their hands and say, you know what? I've done 40 episodes. I'm done, right? Or 30, you know, or whatever it is.
40. They don't even get that far. I think the chasm for podcasts is something like 90-some percent of podcasts don't make it to the 90-day mark.
Okay. So let's think about that. And this is what he said, though. He said, if you've done an interview on that podcast, and there is somebody who was listening to that podcast and found it interesting, right? They probably listened to your episode. Now this podcast doesn't exist anymore. Well, what happens? The person who was listening to that podcast now has a half hour or an hour slot in their day that they used to fill with that podcast, and now they don't have anything to fill it with, right? What are they going to do? They're going to look for another podcast to fill that space with. What's the easiest way for them to do that? Go through the people that were interviewed that they thought were interesting that maybe have a podcast, and they probably heard the episode. They heard that he has a podcast. He has an opportunity to actually increase the listenership of his podcast just simply by having been on podcasts that fall away and don't have any more, you know, like, those viewers have to have someplace to go. So he was just like, no, I'm going to take every opportunity I can. If I've got the time, I'm going to be on the podcast. So if you think you can't get people, you know, to interview and to be on your podcast, you're probably wrong. I think you could.
Yeah, and I want to double down on that, because I'm pretty sure that the person you're referring to, Mike, is not the same person that I'm thinking of. And I've had at least a couple of people say that to me, that, you know, essentially almost any podcast offer that they get, they say yes to, because it's just it's such an easy win for everybody involved in the process. And I think the other important piece, you know, just double click on what you said there, which is, you know, you roll the dice every time you have an episode to where something could really just take off. But it may never take off. And that's okay in the sense of, you know, if you keep hitting base hits, you're still going to get plenty of points across the plate. And, you know, that's kind of how I view it in the sense of, you know, we've already had some episodes that have been, you know, essentially home runs, maybe not massive home runs of being, you know, Joe Rogan or something like that. But really have been fantastic information that I know that listeners are going to get a lot of value out of, and that compounds over time. So, you know, I don't even think, listen, I'll definitely take something that, you know, an episode that really takes off and gets a bunch of listeners and gets people's attention. But at the same time, you don't even necessarily need to be massive as far as, you know, your podcast, your listeners, if you're really focused on serving a particular community.
Yeah, agreed. Something else too that just came to mind, and that is, you know, like going back to that idea of just, you know, being on other people's podcasts and the benefit of that, you know, of that practice, is you also don't ever know who's going to listen to that episode. And if the right person hears that episode, that person might make a connection with you that they never would have made, you know, previous, because they hadn't heard of you, they didn't know who you were, but maybe they find whatever it was that you said interesting and useful. And they decide they want to have you on their podcast, and maybe they have a million listeners, or they want to be on your podcast, you know, because of, you know, the content that you're producing, or that, you know, so you just don't know what connection you're going to make. And again, every one of those, you know, podcast interviews, whether you're being interviewed or whether you're having somebody on and making that connection with somebody, is another opportunity to network with that person and connect with potentially all of the people that they're connected with. Why would you not take advantage of that? You're going to learn something anyways. You're like, so you take an hour of your time. Even if none of those other things happen, chances are you still learned something through that interview and through that opportunity, whether you were being interviewed or whether you were interviewing somebody. I would take that every day of the week.
Or you added one other layer in your network, which could be just as valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think also just to me, it's so interesting how much parallels there has been with launching this podcast to, you know, any other, to launching a product on Amazon or, you know, really any of the e-commerce platforms. When we talk about a logarithm where, you know, we were fortunate enough and did some good outreach where we were featured by Kevin King and we were featured by John Durkitz, you know, in their newsletter. So we were able to get some traction there. And then we had a pretty good process. You know, we did a giveaway and that type of stuff in order to really get people excited about the podcast. And I think all those things together, I mean, I think the first, you know, couple of weeks we had like, you know, 500 downloads. So, you know, that's 500 episodes that people listen to, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, let's face it, you know, if you're, it's just like with anything else, you know, we talk about this all the time, but if you're going to sell a product, sell a good one, you know, if make sure it's something that actually helps people, that, that makes their lives better. Like why bother selling a product? If that's, you know, I mean, if all you're about is money, if that's the only thing that you're about, then you're not going to make very much of it. Just, I mean, straight up, you know, like it's just not going to happen. You know, I mean, people will figure you out. They will figure out that you have no interest in helping them, that you're not out to make their lives better. You're just out to take their dollar and put it into your pocket. And they will stop buying from you. So, you know, if you're going to produce a product, produce a good one and help people. Well, same thing here. You know, like if you're going to produce a podcast, don't do it just because it's going to get you something in return, whether that's more product sales or more exposure or whatever. You know, think about it as you should, which is it's an opportunity for me to contribute something to other people out there that will make their lives better. They'll learn something or they'll laugh, you know, or that, you know, it'll improve their day in some way, right? So whether it's you interviewing somebody else and giving them the opportunity to say important things to the people who listen to your, you know, podcast, or you're being on another podcast hopefully you're presenting useful information or something that somebody's going to want or need or that's going to make their life better. And if you pursue it in that way, like, I really just don't feel like you can lose. I mean, at the end of the day, even if you don't make any more money, even if you don't sell anything more, you still gave out some good information and somebody probably benefited from it. So, you know, take it as a win.
Yeah, I could just said it any better. I think, you know, that's a really good way to, I think, kind of wrap up this episode, is just focused on thinking about how you can serve your customers and your community. Anything else you want to add, Matt, before we wrap?
No, I mean, when we started having these conversations, I never thought in a million years that it would turn into a podcast, but it's a lot of fun. And like I said, I don't think there's any scenario with you as a brand builder. I think that regardless of if you think so or not, a podcast is probably a good idea for your niche and to help get the word out about your brand. So I would think about it.
And it's not easy, but it's probably easier than you think.
Yeah.
It certainly is not easy, but if you do it right and you connect with the right people who know what they're doing so they can give you a roadmap, I think the process is probably way easier than you think it is, or at least it can be if you do it right. And as long as you stick with it, and I mean, we learned this in this process, like we learned the stats, like if you manage to just get past 90 days, like you're like in the top 1% of podcasters ever to exist. So, you know, the bar is actually fairly low. If you just stick with it for a little while, you know, you can be in the 1%, you know.
All right. Well, with that, gents, I truly enjoy doing this podcast with you. I'm looking forward to continuing to doing a lot more episodes. And also want to thank everybody who's, you know, been listening and been a part of this journey with us so far. You know, we're really just getting started in this process and getting better every day at putting out content for you guys to really help you fortify your brand on Amazon and beyond. So stay tuned. There's going to be a lot more exciting things to come.
Thanks for tuning into the Brand Fortress HQ podcast. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and be the first to get new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, where we'll continue to bring you the most actionable insights and strategies for fortifying your brand on Amazon and beyond. If you haven't already, please leave a rating and review. It helps the show grow, which means we can keep bringing you the best of the best each and every week. Finally, get access to our free after-purchase funnel blueprint using the link in the show notes. This full course will transform your Amazon game by showing you how to build and properly utilize a powerful customer list.